Welcome to CPA Practice Advisors Tech to Go podcast series, a fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists. These thought leaders tackle issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of CPA Practice Advisor, coming to you with episode 57 of Tech to Go. And as usual, I have my regular co-host on, Randy Johnston, who is a principal with NMGI, Network Management Group Incorporated, and also K2 Enterprises. So welcome today, Randy.
Good day, Darren, and welcome to all our listeners.
We've had a nice quiet winter so far, Randy. How about you guys?
You know, it's been pretty good, but I'm glad I'm not in Nome.
Oh, no doubt.
Alaska, wow, that's unbelievable. But it has been a very productive year and very mild for us. So that part's pretty good.
Well, Randy, today I think what we want to do, you and I talked a little bit about what happened at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas earlier in January. So let's just talk about all the new stuff that's happening and stuff that you heard about at CES. So kind of kick us off.
Well, happy to do so. And there were a number of announcements that I think will affect our businesses here in 2012 and beyond. I think the first one that I'm going to start with is Microsoft. Microsoft did their final opening keynote for CES. They're not supposed to do that in future years. And as part of their strategies, they announced that they would have Kinect, the motion sensing camera for Windows, available on February 1st for $250. And the Kinect motion sensing strategy is also going to be built into Windows 8. So this motion sensing strategy has got me rethinking the position on touchscreens, simply because we can use hand motions to manipulate our computers, which could be quicker than mice and could be quicker than touchscreens themselves. But the bigger announcement probably from Microsoft was about Windows 8. Right now, the strategy is to get a release candidate product for Windows 8 ready in February. And usually once you've got a release candidate, it's no more than about 60 days after that Microsoft releases the actual operating system. So if we can interpret what's going on there, it means that we are going to see Windows 8 much earlier in 2012 than I had suspected. So that's a pretty interesting announcement. And then the third big Microsoft announcement from CES was the availability of Microsoft Office on the iPad. Of course, the OneNote product for the iPad was delivered in December. Not a great implementation of OneNote, but interesting in that it's synchronized between the web browsers and the local copy of OneNote and so forth. And, those are three fairly significant announcements. One final piece I guess I should mention, although maybe not a great big deal, the Xbox division of Microsoft has over 40 million subscribers, and wow, They've been adding new partners. In fact, 40 new partners are going to come to the platform over the next few months, including Netflix, which is already there, and Hulu, and a number of others. But Ross Honey, who's the GM of this division at Microsoft, noted that in 2011, that there was 140% growth in video consumption on the Xbox platform.
So, well, that strategy seems to be coming together for them then, doesn't it?
It actually is. And in fact, Microsoft and Sony both talked about how they were integrating their media experiences, and it was a very good CES for Sony as well. So this integration of media is pretty darn interesting. Now I know, Darren, you enjoy listening to music and so forth on your iPod, and I think it's probably a good time to mention the game changer of the year for CES was the product called Spotify. And for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with Spotify, this is a legal licensed software program, came to the U.S. from the U.K., currently has about 10 million users on the product. They have fully licensed 15 million songs and so forth. my partner Will Fleener from K2 Enterprises and I were talking about this during our annual CPE and Ski, and he noted that when he listens to a song now, what he does is he looks for all of the other people who have recorded a similar song, and he can go listen to those different recordings of the same song. And Spotify is a pretty darned interesting product, and they intend to build in voice recognition much like Apple's Siri, so you can just basically, you know, say the name of a song, it'll look it up and present the different versions to you. And they are adding a karaoke-like feature where you can play the song and say, I want to see the lyrics, and it'll show you the lyrics as the song is playing.
You know, the kids are picking up on Spotify. My daughter has talked to me about it a couple of times, thinks it's a really cool app that she has. So interesting. Yeah, that seems like the kids would probably really enjoy that, and I would too because I can never remember songs.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, I actually like to listen to a song and hear the variants of how it's recorded. You know, just coming out of the holiday season, you think about how many variants you might hear of a particular song.
Sure.
So that's been pretty good. Well, you know, another big vendor that made a lot of noise at CES that is important, I think, is Sony. They introduced a new LED technology that they call Crystal LED. Their key marketing message was an integrated user experience, and they showed a number of 3D TVs that didn't require 3D glasses. So we're going to see a new generation of TVs introduced here in 2012 that use a higher resolution known as 4K. I was very much interested in the 4K TV technology, and even though Sharp showed a technology known as Super 8K, which was brilliant, the 4K technology is important to us from a business perspective because all of our Intel chips, the Core i3s, i5s, i7s, and all of the later Sandy Bridge technologies, the Core 2s, if you will, all have 4K video built into the hardware. So like you, Darren, on your Mac Air, you don't know it, but you've got 4K video already, just like I do on my HP laptop. And Intel here in 2012 should update the ROMs to turn on this new level of video that will take us from HD video up to 4K. So it's going to be, you know, four times more pixels and should give us much better images and so forth. So one of my agreed-to purchases with my spouse for this year is a 4K television replacement. So there's a number of them that I'm going to, you know, probably choose from. And if I had to guess, I may wind up with the Toshiba Quad FHD 4K television.
Are you getting into the 60-inch range at that point, or what kind of size are you talking about?
Well, it turns out the 4K televisions are available on a number of sizes, but you'll see the best advantage when you're at 46 inches and above. So I'll probably wind up in a 52 or a 60-inch model. I don't have the dimensions of the external case, and that's going to determine which one I can actually purchase. But the key is it's a no-glasses-required 3D. And for our listeners who you know, are just thinking about possible television replacements and say, oh, I'd never do 3D, I would refer them across to the Economist, who in December did a review about purchasing televisions and suggested that even if you watch TV in 2D, that if you get a 3D TV, you get much more of the image filled in. And it's a much richer image, which, by the way, the author I agree with. And so you'll see some wonderful values on older generation 3D TVs that have been going on actually for the last 60 days and will continue out through most of 2012, where if you need a replacement product, you can get a 3D old generation TV and watch it in 2D, and you'll have a marvelous experience. And I'll just pick on Samsung by brand. 52-inch 3D television right now, routinely selling at about $800. And I just can't imagine a much better viewing experience for most of our listeners than a very simple, you know, $800 50-inch TV.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sitting here, Randy, looking at three Dell 21-inch flat panels that I've had now for, oh, probably 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
And this technology doesn't seem to be changing much. I mean, I go to back to Dell's website, and the monitors that they have on the website look pretty much like the ones I have. Am I going to see anything different there? Anything a little sleeker? Anything thinner? What are you seeing there?
Both sleeker, thinner, and frankly larger. And as many times as we've discussed over, let's say, the last, for me, almost 15 years at this point, because I started back in 97 on this discussion of running two and three and more monitors, because in 1998, you might recall, when with Windows 98 was the first time we could support up to eight monitors natively in Windows. Of course, Apple's done that for some years as well. We're thinking that the days of running three, four monitors and more is coming to a close with the introduction of very sharp 27 and 30-inch monitors that can support two windows apiece, meaning we cut our desk space consumption notably, and we improve the quality of the image radically. And the price point of these very large monitors has dropped amazingly. So one that I've been following a fair little bit is the Central Station, which frankly is an amazing value. The Central Station basically is a let's call it a wireless docking monitor configuration that supports handheld phones, iPhones, tablets, and so forth, as well as computers. And the 27-inch monitor retails at $599. Street price is about
Wow.
$500 on that. And it is as crisp and as beautiful as the $1,000-plus Apple monitors. But if you think about it, you can just walk into a room and not connect anything to your laptop or your phone and be able to run off of a keyboard, mouse, on a large screen. That's the function of the Samsung Central Station.
We're going to see a
So
lot of changes in that space, you think, over the coming year?
I really do, and the only thing that I haven't resolved in my thinking on this is we talked quite a bit about touch screens, which I still like, and I think the new Apple operating systems and the new Windows operating systems are all supporting touch screens better, but I'm not sure about this motion sensing, Kinect technology that Windows is going to throw at us with Kinect for Windows and Windows 8. So I've been running Windows 8 on a touch screen computer, and I'm saying this is a pretty darn good experience. If Microsoft cleans up a little bit of their licensing issues around Windows 8 for me, I think I'll be pretty happy with the way that it goes.
You mentioned Windows 8 earlier, Randy. What kind of improvements are we going to see in Windows 8 over 7, let's say?
Well, Windows 8 key improvement is a new menuing system, kind of a tile-based thing. The tiles turn out to be pretty darn productive. Microsoft built the operating system using some of the technologies that they'd used for the Windows Phone operating system. And I believe the tiles may be more productive than what you see on the iPhone or the iPad. It makes very logical sense how to maneuver in the tiles, how to run your applications and launch them. They're interactive components, so you can see information in the tiles and so forth. It's a better Windows experience implemented right now in the betas as kind of a shell over the top of Windows 7. Looks to be very stable. So think easier navigation, more productivity, but on a stable platform.
So we're probably not going to be thinking about this in 2012 much at all, but this is a 2013 thing we'll be looking at, you think?
Well, originally, Darren and I believed that Windows 8 wasn't going to make it out until kind of the September-October thing, the time frame, so I thought it was a 2013 thing. But if Microsoft does hit the shipping targets of early in the year that they've announced, I think this is a technology for our Windows users to consider after the completion of second tax season. So I think this is an October, November 2012 implementation cycle
Wow.
now.
Okay.
So that's a real big change from even the last time you and I spoke.
Yeah, absolutely. What else did you see at CES, Randy?
Well, you know, some of the other interesting pieces came from Polaroid. They had a new instant camera, the Z340, which was an instant digital camera, 14 megapixels. Think the old traditional Polaroid. You point and shoot and out prints a picture. Very darn cool. And with today's technologies, I think it's portable enough and useful enough. I'm hopeful that may catch on. They also had a 16 megapixel camera that they introduced, the SC1630, which connects via Wi-Fi to Facebook and Flickr and Twitter. That 16 megapixel camera may become the new in-user camera, although there's this argument about people using you know, their cell phones for their cameras. These independent cameras are doing lots of interesting things that I don't think that you can do with a regular camera. So a few of the other vendors that had out of the ordinary type of things included the Lytro. Lytro is not a name that our listeners would be familiar with, but Lytro has a multi-field focus camera capability. Now, at the risk of sounding a little too technical on this, when you take a picture, what has traditionally happened with a camera is the lenses focus on a single plane of focus. What the new cameras are doing, including the camera that's built into the iPhone 4S, they have variable field focus. So what they do is they record the light at all ranges in a picture, and then after the picture is taken, you can change the point of focus. So if you think about, you know, pictures that you take maybe in your home and for some reason the wall's in focus rather than the people you were trying to take in the picture, or, you know, you take a still life and the background went up in focus instead of the item, you can change that after the fact. You just point to the item that you want, say focus here, and the field of focus changes. And there was a number of these camera products like this that were shown at CES this year. But I think the most interesting one was the Lytro, although there were some others that were really quite amazing in terms of their capabilities, and we could go down through a bunch of those as well. So as it turns out, phones were pretty hot, as you would expect at CES. Many of the new smartphones from lots of different vendors, Sony being a good example with their Xperia 4.6-inch phone that had two HD cameras and HDMI out and integration to PlayStation. Again, remember, Sony's message was an integrated user experience.
Yeah.
But we also saw phones from, you know, Motorola and Samsung and Hitachi and so forth that were all quite interesting in terms of what they were doing. So as you kind of think about the key players, I think we'll see extraordinary phone technology. But honestly, the biggest new news, I think, for our listeners is the number of Ultrabooks that were introduced at CES this year. There were loosely 25 different new Ultrabooks that were made or announced or made available. Some are shipping now. And for our listeners, what I'd like for them to start processing on is the Ultrabook standard is a standard that was actually created by Intel, a specification, which says we're going to create computers that are less than 1.3 pounds, that have a solid-state drive, and have a certain performance specification, typically core i5 or i7 or quicker in the Intel lines. So the Mac Air you carry fits in that Ultrabook category, as it turns out. But some of the new Ultrabooks, you know, I've got to tell you, I'm just kind of doing backflips over. And the reason I'm doing that is I believe that this may be the start or the close of the notebook period of computing. So,
so our 15, 17 inches, you think, will start going away, the big laptops?
I think the big laptops will fade in their dominance. It doesn't make sense to me to be carrying these really, really large laptops and very heavy laptops based on what we can do with 10 keypads, secondary monitors, and so forth, plus the specification and capabilities of the ultrabooks. So for our listeners, if I can try to get you to picture this, one product that really is interesting was introduced by Lenovo called the Yoga. It basically folds over and doubles as a tablet. So if you would think about those of our listeners who are carrying iPads and have separate keyboards for their iPads because they want a better typing experience, if you would just take the weight of an iPad plus a keyboard, that's the weight of the Lenovo Yoga. And it basically can act as a full-powered computer, much like your Mac Air does, Darren, yet it does everything that a tablet does in one item. So 5-hour battery lives, high performance, those type of things all in play.
Lots of good stuff, it sounds like.
Yes, it is. And, you know, other competitors, Toshiba with their Portage, HP with their Envy Spectra, probably another one that's worth some review is some of the Samsung products and so forth. And, you know, over this coming year of 2012, we'll spend a bit more time talking about, you know, which products we think are doing a good job and which one are worthy of some review. But this whole category of ultrabooks has got me thinking about not recommending notebooks anymore and maybe even lightening up on some of my recommendations of using tablets, because you can kind of get the best of all worlds by using this new ultrabook category.
Interesting. Did you see anything, any new scan technologies, anything along that line that would affect an accounting firm?
I appreciate that question, but I did not see anything that I thought was a breakthrough in scanning. Okay. So at this point, probably it's going to be status quo for our portable scanners, our desktop production quality scanners, and our copiers. I don't think anything of note happened in those areas.
So we need to be, this year, thinking about, you know, if we're going to replace a laptop of some sort, and thinking about some of these new ultralight devices. TVs sound like a big hit this year. And then Windows 8 needs to be probably on our radar screen potentially late in the year.
Potentially late in the year. And kind of related to that TV comment, I think that means that our monitors will be getting replaced, and that there's going to have to be a little bit of a thought about motion versus touchscreen. And what I'm seeing in the ultralights is some delivery of touchscreen in this combination format, which means instead of carrying a computer and a tablet, or like you and I have done on some trips this year where we only carry our smartphone and a tablet, I'm thinking that an ultrabook could take the capability of the weight, the instant on, the battery life, the speed, all those things. It could come back to roost in a new format.
You know, with the major vendors, you know, CCH, Thompson, Intuit, you know, some of the others that are out there, are we going to be able to take advantage of any of this touchscreen in the foreseeable future?
I believe that both of the major vendors of Thompson and CCH have products that will run very nicely in this environment. If you think about what's been done on the iPad, and you obviously are running some of the Thompson apps on the iPad, you've got an experience that is kind of a touch screen experience, think larger buttons and so forth.
Yeah.
CCH has built some apps like that as well, so we'll see those in volume, I think, after the tax season completes. So that'll be, I think, interface there as well. So this whole evolution of the app on the tablet, regardless of whether it's running on the iPad tablet or the Zoom tablet or, you know, any of the other competitors there, I think we'll have confirm applications that make sense. I do believe also we'll begin to see more of the virtual desktop, the remote access on these small form factors in this coming year. And we'll also see more processing power because most of the vendors that were announcing products were converting from 2 to 4 processors in the smartphones and the tablets.
Well, it sounds like firms are going to have another busy year. I suspect business is going to be good this year, a lot of new good tech things happening this year. So should be a good and exciting year for accounting firms, don't you think?
I do believe so, and of course, we're pretty quiet on this broadcast about some of the new software things that are coming down the pike. But just as an example of something that's happened since we spoke last, the announcement by Intuit that their ProLine practice would ship after tax season is another example. And I think if we go to the big three publishers for CPA firms, post-tax season, they'll all have a new wave of products trying to support this new wave of hardware. And so from my perspective, it's pretty nice to see the innovation being driven from both the software and the hardware side of the business.
Certainly is what makes our profession exciting, at least from my perspective, Randy.
Mm-hmm. It is a great opportunity for client service.
Well, great report from CES today, Randy. I really appreciate you going there and reporting back to everybody as to everything that you saw and giving your take on that.
Well, we will have to process it a little further and come up with some conclusions, but perhaps in a future podcast or in some writing, we'll have some strategic thinking that comes out of these PR frenzies of shows like CES.
Well, sounds great. Well, Randy, we're out of time today. Hope you have a good rest of the month and get all of our planning done during busy season. I'm going to be hard at doing tax returns here right away and look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. All the best to you and all the best to all of our listeners.
Thanks.
For more info on the CPA Practice Advisor programs and our e-newsletter, visit cpapracticeadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 1-800-456-0864, extension 2107, or tune into future episodes where you'll be able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.